Welcome into the November 23rd episode of the Locked On Leafs podcast. I'm Mike DiStefano with Dave Morosutti. We got the news on Morgan Rielly that we were waiting on. It's not good news, folks. It's not good. He was placed on LTIR. We'll miss some time. Dave and I will break down what it means for the Leafs. And if this should up the urgency to make Kyle Dubas make a move to add to that blue line, Toronto also in New Jersey tonight for another crack at ending their winning streak, which is up to 13 in a row, could make it a record high 14 straight tonight. The Devils could. Toronto will hope to break that, obviously. We'll tee that up today as well. All that more coming up on today's edition of Locked On Leafs.
Your Locked On Maple Leafs, your daily podcast on the Toronto Maple Leafs. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Leafs podcast, your one-stop shop for all things Leafs. I'm your host, Mike DiStefano from TSN 1050 Toronto Radio, also known as Al's Brother on TSN's Overdrive and 1050's Leafs Lunch. Joining me, it's my co-host, Dave Morosutti from Sportsnet, also writer for the NHLPA. Locked On Leafs, the daily Maple Leaf-centric podcast. So be sure to subscribe for free wherever you get your podcasts from. You can also now catch us up on video format up on YouTube. Just hit subscribe and get new videos directly to you each and every day, Monday through Friday, all Leafs, all the time. Got a game night tonight. Toronto taking on the New Jersey Devils for the second time in less than a week, and a chance to beat the streak for the second time in less than a week, because they just kept rolling along after they beat Toronto last week in overtime. That streak now up to 13 straight games, Dave. They can make it a franchise record 14 tonight if they can beat Toronto. We'll get to that game and we'll tee it up in just a moment, but I think we got to get to the more pressing news on the day, and that's Morgan Rielly. Sheldon Keefe came out today and spoke. We got the notification from their PR staff via Twitter. They placed Morgan Rielly on LTIR. Reports out there that it's a grade one or a grade two MCL sprain. And the early timeline, according to some insiders, I spoke with Darren Dreg earlier today, he's hearing that it could be a 4 to 6 week injury. Not good news for the Toronto Maple Leafs, who are already without Jake Muzzin, without TJ Brody. Now they lose their biggest minute muncher in Morgan Rielly.
Yeah, I got the, when I saw Leafs PR notification on my phone, I said, ooh, no bueno. I didn't even have to open the tweet to know that it was going to be a no bueno. And I read the message, I stared at my phone, and I'm just like, well, day's going off just splendidly.
Yeah.
We kind of discussed it on the previous episode, but when I heard that he had to get further imaging done, you don't like to hear that. And that's where it made me feel like that. Prepare for the worst, because that's kind of where it felt like it was leaning towards.
Yeah, and we've seen those knee-on-knee collisions end up more times than not with knee injuries. Connor McDavid got away with one, pretty lucky. Last week, Alex Edler kind of got an extension there, and he was, you know, good enough. I mean, even later in the game, Austin Matthews, right, had a bit of a knee-on-knee collision with Oliver Wahlstrom, which saw Rasmus Sandin come in to fight him. But, you know, sometimes you're not as lucky, and obviously the Maple Leafs get hit with a pretty big injury here to Morgan Rielly, a guy who plays over 23 minutes a night. He's the quarterback of their power play. He's on their top pair. And with Rielly with Muzzin and Brody out, even more the load he had to shoulder over the course of the last week or so. And now without him, you're down your first, second, and third defenseman. This team's sitting here with the top pair, Dave, of Mark Giordano, 39-year-old Mark Giordano, I might add. And I got to say it, don't I? Justin Hall, first pair defenseman, Justin Hall. I mean, 3 weeks ago, Leafs Nation wanted to punt this guy into the press box, and now he's their top pair defenseman.
I didn't even want to punt them into the press box. I wanted to punt them out of Scotiabank Arena. I didn't even want, I wanted his key card access revoked, for God's sake.
Well, the good thing it wasn't. Good thing they kept him around, because now you got Justin Hall legitimately up on the top pair. You've got Rasmus Sandin and Timothy Liljegren as the second pair. And then Jordy Benn and Mac Hollowell, who's yet to play a game in the National Hockey League. He's been called up, and he will play tomorrow night against the Devils in his first game. He'll be on the third pair with Jordy Benn. But you look at that blue line right now, and I saw a funny tweet that said, oh, did they just screw up, and did they just resend? Like, no, you can retweet something. Did they retweet a D pairings from the preseason? Like, I saw somebody tweet that out, and I was like, that's pretty good. Because this is basically, yeah, a preseason-esque blue line that they got going here. I mean, Gio and Hall, clearly, like, those are both third-pair guys. Sandin and Liljegren are both third-pair guys. Benn and Hollowell are borderline NHLers. Yeah, Ben's played pretty good so far, but, like, still, they're borderline NHLers. Mac Hollowell has yet to play in the NHL, so I can't even call him an NHLer to this point yet. But the fact that this is the six guys who are expected to put a halt to the New Jersey Devils winning streak, the way that that offense attacks and puts pressure on the blue line, I don't know how good I feel about tonight's game, David.
Not, you know,
yeah.
Can I just make a quick note to the people in the comment section saying, you're going to have a 39-year-old Mark Giordano playing all these – we're not asking them. They got no other choice, ladies and gentlemen. Well, like, we're not happy about this. This is not something we wanted.
No.
Start the season. So pump the brakes on the whole. People are like, they're okay with Mark Giordano. No, people are not okay with Mark Giordano on the top pairing. Stop with that. This is not going to go. Look, you can probably get by. I've seen teams get decimated with injuries on the blue line. I have seen it. And some are able to get through it, you know, a game, maybe. I think the Leafs played Anaheim one year, and they didn't have, like, any of their top defensemen. And the Leafs actually lost that game. I don't know if you remember that. It was on that California road trip. Michael Delzato was, like, one of their top defensemen that night. It has been done. I'm not optimistic that it's going to go well. The only chance the Leafs will have in this game is if Matt Murray takes his game from an elite level to, I got to steal a game.
Well, you know how they can get around this? It's not like, yes, that is one way. They could also start scoring some goals.
Oh, like, yes, that sounds like a good idea.
You know what I mean? Like, they scored two goals against the Islanders the other night. Granted, Ilya Sorokin is a terrific goaltender, and it is tough to put pucks past him, but you're going to have to put up more than two goals a game if you want to go out there and you want to win a lot of hockey games. And so far, that this team is averaging sub three goals per game. And that really can't continue, especially look at the decimation on the blue line. You look at the uncertainty in net. Yeah, they played well, but, you know, there's always going to be that worry, like, okay, when is the pumpkin going to show up here in both Matt Murray and when Samsonov gets back in him? But then you look at this blue line as well. It's like, this offense might need to score 5-6 goals in order to win a hockey game. And that's just something they really haven't been capable of doing a whole lot this year. I think only twice they've scored 5 goals in a game. And good luck doing that against a team like the New Jersey Devils tonight, who have quite literally like the second best expected goals against. Yeah. They're in for some tough sledding tonight. A lot going against them.
Yeah, if I'm Sheldon Keefe, like, I'm telling the forward, you cheat a little bit, maybe. Like, thing is, he's probably also preaching to the forwards to say,
yeah, you can't actually, hold on. They can't cheat.
I was gonna say
Are you kidding me? This team will get absolutely, especially against this club.
Yeah,
this has to be. So what this team has to do at this point?
Hope and a prayer.
Brody and Riley all gone. Like, it's got to be a by committee. And it's not just the six blue liners. It's got to be the four group. Lots of support. And they got to try and grind out a 2-1 win. Like, honestly, like, that's almost the way that's going to have to be. Because if not, then they got to score 6 goals. Like those are the two ways I see this game kind of unfolding. Either going to be a 2-1 grinded out game, or they're going to have to get in a track meet and they're going to have to score 6 goals. Those are the only two scenarios that I see kind of happening tonight for the Leafs.
Yeah, I when I was saying that in my head, I'm like, yeah, you can't really cheat against the New Jersey Devils. And also, the Sheldon Keefe is probably going to preach the whole, it's going to not just be on the defenseman, but our forward stepping up in this situation, which is kind of what I would expect Sheldon Keefe to say in a situation like this. But yeah, no, like the New Jersey Devils are probably seeing this matchup and they're salivating because they've been pumping teams. Like the Senators, no dice. They were like not even close to being on the same level. The Oilers, I don't know if you saw that game. They were giving away goals in that one. So,
by the way, poor Jack Campbell, who did suffer a broken nose.
Like,
in that game,
catch a break.
No, for those who missed it, he literally, so he was the backup that night. They had Stuart Skinner in net, and he was sitting on the bench minding his own business. And up comes a puck out of play, catches him right in the freaking schnoz, and broken nose was what was reported today in practice. So poor Jack. But yeah, the Devils went in and just an absolute, you know, butt whooping on the Edmonton Oilers.
Who don't exactly have the same issue as the Leafs right now when it comes to injuries. I mean, they're not playing well, but they don't have the injury problems the Leafs have right now.
They've scored 5 goals in 3 of their last 4. The only one they didn't score 5 in was the one against Toronto. They limited them to 3 in overtime. But even when you look at, like, how many times they've scored 4 goals on this, like, they haven't, just looking now, during this winning streak, okay, they have scored 3 goals or less only 3 times in 13 games. So in 10 of the 13 games of this winning streak, they've scored 4 or more goals.
That's not very reassuring when you consider how things have been going for the Leafs lately. Like, they 5-on-5 is going to be, you're going to have to hope that your players play better at 5-on-5 because it's going to be tough to find those chances against this Devils team.
5-on-5, the penalty kill has been struggling a lot, right? Without both Brody and Muzzin, who are 2 key cogs of that penalty kill. You know, Riley can kill some penalties in a pinch. He's been able to do that a little bit, but now he's gone. So you need Gio, Hall, Liljegren, probably Jordy Benn out there killing penalties now. So we'll see what's in store here. We'll get into this game a little bit more. We'll break it down. But I do want to know if you believe there's more urgency for Kyle Dubas now to do something. We'll get into that on the other side. But first, Dave, how about a word from one of our show sponsors today?
Yep. It's a product that I'm using every day now. It is Athletic Greens. Take it once a day, scoop right into the water. I actually have the bottle that came with the AG1 product. So it's actually great and simple to use. Measure it out, put it on the line, mix it, and you get 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help your day start off right. It's a special blend of ingredients to help support your gut health, nervous system, immune system, energy, recovery, focus, and aging. All those things that I just listed right there. So why am I taking it? You know, I'm somebody that been trying to find a good routine to be taking vitamins or something every day. It's tough to remember to take, you know, find this one, grab this one, make sure you don't forget this one at this time of the day. I wanted something that I could do in one shot, and AG1 has actually been the easiest thing for me to do every day. And it's also a lifestyle-friendly option. I tell all my friends about it because there's literally no restrictions on it, whether they are keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, gluten-free. There are so many options for them. I always make sure to let them know that. It contains 1 gram of sugar. No GMOs, no nasty chemicals or artificial flavors. Anything. So it's also still, it actually tastes pretty good too. A lot of people ask me how it tastes. I think it tastes pretty good. It also supposed to support better sleep quality and recovery, mental clarity and alertness. It's one of the things with the best things. Athletic Greens uses the best of the best products based on the latest science with constant product iterations and third-party testing. And my last sell to everyone that I talk about it, it costs less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself. You're investing in an all-in-one nutritional solution. So right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look after your health. And to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D. It's little droplets. You take them every day. And 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NHL Network. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/NHL Network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
Welcome back into the Locked On Leafs podcast. I'm Mike DiStefano with David Morisuti. We're hosts here at Locked On Leafs. We'll get into the urgency factor in just a moment. How, if we think that, you know, with the injuries and this latest one with Morgan Rielly, if that's a big enough hit to really kind of stoke the fire underneath Kyle Dubas and maybe make a push to get a move done just a moment. But why don't we continue to kind of break down this game tonight in particular first, and then we get into that discussion. Because the Leafs are in New Jersey tonight to begin a 4-game road trip. They got the Devils tonight, and then they got a back-to-back against Minnesota. That'll be a Friday afternoon game, by the way, 2 p.m. start in Arizona. Then they go to Pittsburgh on Saturday night, and then they're in – why am I blanking here? Who they got on Monday? I'm blanking who they got on Monday. But they got a game on Monday as well. let me – quickly.
I thought you didn't go that far. That's why I was blanking on Detroit.
Thank you, Detroit. I don't know why I was blanking
in
on
Detroit. Here.
I knew it was a division foe. For some reason, I had Boston in my head, but I'm like, I don't think they're going all the way that east through there. But anyway, so they got Detroit to finish off the road trip. But tonight's clearly the biggest challenge, right? You got the New Jersey Devils riding hot right now. A chance to make team history with their 14th win in a row. Dave, we saw this team no less than a week ago. We saw them, you know, Toronto played them pretty well, I would say. Actually limited them more than most teams have been able to. And took them to overtime, limited them to just 3 goals, and they needed extra time to do it. It was 3-2 overtime loss. But how does Toronto rebound tonight and end the streak of the New Jersey Devils?
D-zone coverage is going to be one of them. Wow. Like, they got very active forwards. I know. I'm talking about
You don't say. Huh?
So the forwards are going to have to pick up the extra guys. That, you know, New Jersey has a very active forward group. They like to get around, move around the zone, make some nice plays. So you're going to have to make sure you're limiting those, you know, extra – those. That guy that sneaks by and allows gets that extra chance on net. Also, if the Leafs do score a goal, maybe make sure they don't score a goal 10 seconds later.
Yeah.
I think that would be another one for me.
Yeah, that would probably be a good call there. You know what's really difficult, though, about this team and having to go into New Jersey in particular, I think is going to be even more difficult than it was last week when they were in Toronto, because at least they had last change. Tonight, the Devils and Lindy Ruff will have last change. And when you look at that blue line, like you can pick on this blue line, like poor Mac Hollowell, who's a 4th-round pick. And by all accounts, they think has NHL potential. He's 24 years old. He's going to play in his first NHL game tonight. He was a 2018 4th-round pick. They've developed him through the ECHL into the AHL, and now he's going to get a look. But I mean, Dave, the guy's 170 pounds. He's 5'9". Apparently, he's got good mobility, according to Sheldon Keefe, and he can, you know, pass the puck a little bit. But this is a team that is just so good, and they've got some heavy dudes on this team, and they can play heavy. They can play a skill game, a speed game, but they're also on you quick. That was something that I noticed about this team. They were suffocating when they were in the offensive zone, and they were able to, you know, get a bunch of takeaways and rip the puck off a defenseman and force turnovers. And that's going to be difficult for Matt Colwell. That's going to be difficult for all of them. Colwell, Sandin, Liljegren, Justin Hall. You know, go down the list. There's a lot of guys that are prone to be making mistakes. So make the simple plays is probably the number one key that I've got tonight. Got to play the simplest game possible. Don't try and do any, you know, keep the stretch passing, the backhand passing. Keep that all kind of tucked away. I think you just need some simple tape-to-tape passes right on the face of the stick, and away you go. Skate onto pucks well, and you got to keep playing with speed, and you got to be able to try and limit that speed, clog up the neutral zone as much as you can so that they can't break in over the blue line so cleanly. That's the only way that you're going to be able to beat this team, I think. It's a tough task. I mean, it's easy to say, a lot tougher to do, clearly. They've won 13 in a row, and if you look at the underlying numbers, they're earning all 13 of those games. Yeah. They're not getting lucky. They're not getting, you know, ridiculous goaltending, and they're not having one player who's going off, putting the team on their back and leading. This is a full team effort, Dave. Lines 1 through 4, all three pairings, and they've got a couple of goalies in Vanacek, and even Akira Schmid, who's come up from the minors, who's also winning games for them. So it's been a full team effort. So it's going to take a full team effort from the Toronto Maple Leafs in order to get this done. And we should note that Nick Robertson, who we talked about yesterday as a player who should either get into the lineup or go down to the Marlies, he's getting back into the lineup tonight. So they are going to give him a shot back against the New Jersey Devils. He's going to skate on the second line. So he's getting back into the top six alongside John Tavares and Mitch Marner. Engvall moves down to the fourth line, and then Kerfoot moves to the third line. Those are really the only changes that we saw happen with the lineup tonight, but you're going to have to see all four of those lines get contributions. So I think that, you know, it'll be a tough task, like I said, but that's going to be necessary in order to put up a fight tonight against the Devils.
Yeah. I mean, the Devils are definitely not going to make it easy. You brought up the idea that it's going to be an away game. So you're not going to be able to dictate matchups, which maybe explains why Kerfoot gets moved down the lineup. You probably feel more comfortable with him on a different line.
An Engvall on a fourth line.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, those guys are going to, those lines are going to have to step up because New Jersey. Yeah. We've been pumping their tires quite a bit, deservingly so. They're not going to make this easy. If the Leafs pull this off, it'd be probably one of the more impressive wins of the season, considering all the circumstances. But it's going to take a lot to earn that up. I mean, I don't even know what the betting favorite, if like the Leafs are favored at all. I would assume maybe not, considering the situations. But I don't think the Devils were favored in last week's game. That's what.
They weren't. The Leafs were favored going into the game as the home team, but the Devils are favored going in as the home team tonight. Latest I saw, so there's a lot of money pouring in on the Devils because the line's moving. It's now at 142. It opened at 118. Mm. So lots of money coming in on Jersey, and that probably has to do with the news
Morgan Rielly.
You know, the books got from Morgan Rielly that had a lot more money coming in on New Jersey, and they had to move the lines a little bit.
Yeah. So maybe the Leafs embrace the underdog mentality.
I mean, the good thing is, Dave, they step up when they need to.
Yeah.
Like, during the regular season. Let's put that during the regular season. You know, they have stepped up and they've played up to their opponents. They've played tough opponents well. And even, you know, over the course of the years, like whenever Matthews is out for a game, the team kind of bands together and it's a by-committee system and they end up finding success somehow. We'll see if tonight they can do the same thing. It's a tough, tough opponent, a real, real tough opponent. But we'll see. I don't have a good feel about it, if I'm being honest with you. I think we see some New Jersey Devils history made tonight with them if they can get that 14th straight win. But, you know, go out there and do your best, Toronto. Do your absolute best. And also, like, you know, I'm on a personal level, I'm actually pumped for Matt Colwell to get his first game. He's a Niagara Falls kid, so I know the family not like super well, but like when he was drafted, there was buzz. I have friends who are friends with him, and you know, we have mutual friends, and my sister, he's like my sister's age and whatnot. So, you know, I'm happy for the kid making his NHL debut for his hometown club in the Toronto Maple Leafs. So, you know, shout out to Mac. Hopefully he looks okay. Hey, probably get beat a couple times. Yeah, he'll probably get beat a couple times, but I mean, can't get walked any worse than Marner did last week when he was playing defense, right?
We might actually maybe we'll see Marner play a little defense this game, which would probably be.
It's funny you say that because I was joking about that earlier when I heard the Riley news. I was like, are they going to have to put Marner like legitimately on the blue line as this team's like top pair right shot defenseman and basically just use him as Erik Karlsson? I mean, like, do we want to go down that road, Dave?
Not like, really.
but like, think about that for a second. Would you entertain that at all? I mean, realistically, like, Brent Burns is the poster child. I should say Brent Burns, not Erik Karlsson. But he's the poster child as someone who was drafted as a forward and then converted into a defenseman and became
there's a little different build-up between them and I get what you're saying with that. I personally don't think it'll happen. But
out of complete necessity, like, can you honestly tell me that you feel more comfortable with a top pair of Geo and Hall, or a guy like Mac Hollowell over Morgan Riley or Mitch Marner?
I can't just because it's not his natural position. The experiment has only been with those, you know, cases where you need need some offense from your defense. They did it against didn't they do it against the Islanders? Or it was one of those games.
It was the Devils. That's what I'm saying. He got watched by Nico Hischier.
Right. And also the overtime. I mean, overtime didn't go so well either when you consider he was one of the guys hanging back with the turnovers. I just think you don't try to get too cute with it because it could burn you.
Yeah, I mean, I was saying that as a joke, as I was joking about it, but like, I'd be curious. You're
kind of talking yourself into it a little bit there.
Kind of am. It's like, you know, you got to turn over some rocks sometimes, and maybe you turn over a rock and you get an all-star defensive performance out of Mitch Marner one of these days, and who knows? In desperate times, calls for desperate measures. That would be a desperate move for sure, but who knows? All right. Well, we don't expect Mitch Marner to play significant time as a blue liner. So why don't we take a quick break? And when we get back into it, there's a couple of names have been floated around by some of the insiders and reporters around the NHL. Why don't we talk about some of those names and see what the buzz is on some of those guys who could potentially help this blue line sometime soon with all these injuries. You're listening to Locked On Leafs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Welcome back into Locked On Leafs. I'm Mike DiStefano with Dave Morisuti. We are the host of the Locked On Leafs podcast. The news of the day, Morgan Riley placed on LTIR with an MCL sprain, going to be out for, well, since he was on LTIR, it's a minimum of 10 games and 24 days. Now they play 11 games within that 24-day span, so he'll miss at least 11 games. But the early reports are that it's most likely going to be a 4 to 6 week injury, which blows past those minimum requirements anyways. So if you're out for 4 to 6 weeks, a month to 6 weeks for Morgan Riley, TJ Brody, we heard yesterday from Sheldon Keefe, not quite responding as well, not recovering as quickly as they had initially hoped with his oblique injury. You know Jake Muzzin isn't going to be around for quite some time. Does this up the urgency level if you're Kyle Dubas to go get blue line help now? Or as humanly possible.
Like, I understand some people are going to say, well, right now teams are going to try to fleece him because they know he needs a defenseman. But you wait too long. The prices don't get cheaper as you get closer to the trade deadline. So some team, I know, and look, some teams might say, oh, you want this guy now, you're going to have to pony up. You figure, you know, you have to take that chance that, you know what, the team can't go on a run where, look, they're not exactly in a secure position in the Atlantic Division. Detroit and Tampa are like right behind them. Boston's 9 points ahead. So you don't have a cushion to say, well, we can ride this out a little bit. You have to make that decision of if the defense is something you're going to have to upgrade heading into the trade deadline, why not try to see what you can do now so that you can focus on other things before the trade deadline? And that's where I'm at. I'm not saying go out and cave in and say, San Jose, let's get Erik Karlsson, because that's A, not going to happen, and B, it's just like that's a panic move. But it doesn't stop to say, all right, what team has a defenseman that they know for sure they're not going to keep? Can we try to get on it? I also know that teams are not exactly going to trade their best asset earlier than they feel like they have to. So you're going to have to look at a team that maybe has a defenseman who they can part with and not feel like they're missing out on a big bidding war before the trade deadline. It's tough. There aren't many out there, but the Leafs have certainly been kicking the tires too.
Yeah, and I think I hate that we have to clarify this, because you know we're going to get comments about it, because we did get one yesterday, I believe. We are well aware how hard it is to trade for a defenseman right now, and that it's not a video game. But we're saying that they need to try and kick tires, which I think Kyle Dubas is doing anyway. We are hearing that there are have been some discussions with some defensemen that are out there, and I think that's probably a good thing. But realistically, Dave, prior to the Muzzin injury, prior to the Brody injury, and well prior to the Morgan Rielly injury, were we not talking about how this team still needed an upgrade in the top four and needed a bona fide top four defenseman to kind of round out that group? Hopefully someone who could play with Rielly so that Brody and Muzzin could be a shutdown duo together. Like, we've been talking about this all summer. We've been talking about this since last offseason, realistically. Yeah. And they went and got Giordano, who's like, okay, that's not bad, but I don't necessarily know if he exactly filled the need. So I look at this and I'm like, there's 100% a need for a defenseman. There always has been a need for a D-man. And now this kind of gets amplified with all the injuries that are occurring right now to Brody, Rielly. Obviously, Muzzin might not be here for the rest of the season. A couple of names, I guess, that we've been hearing out there by some of the insiders and reporters. I know Connor Timmins is a name that's kind of been linked to Toronto. You know, a young defenseman who's had some injury troubles. He was traded to the Arizona Coyotes in a deal for Darcy Kemper. Was it two summers ago, I guess? Or last summer, I guess it would have been, rather, from Colorado. But like a young right-shot defenseman.
Former Sault Ste. Marie Greyhound.
I was just going to say, former Sault Greyhound, injury history. Those are really the two check marks that comes with Kyle Dubas to make a deal. Legitimately, he calls up and he says, all right, did he play for the Sioux? Yes, he did. Okay. Has he been injured? Is he injury prone? Yeah, kind of. Sign me up.
Oh, wait. I got the kicker.
Oh.
Did he play with Rasmus Sandin during his time with the Sioux?
He did. He most certainly did. So
I don't know how this trade wasn't done already. Like, how are we the one talking? Like, how is this not in? Like, how so, has it been running?
It's funny because, like, does Connor Timmins, the problem with this trade, Dave, for me at least.
There's only one Connor problem Timmins, with this trade, Mike.
Well, yeah, you're right. But the thing is, Connor Timmins doesn't move the needle for me. I don't think this team needs another third pair guy. They need a bona fide top four defenseman, preferably one who has some size and can kill penalties effectively. That, to me, is what they need, right? They need that Josh Manson-esque player that the Colorado Avalanche picked up a year ago, right? That's what they need on this blue line in that top four, because they don't have anyone like that. I was looking at the numbers. Their rebound like chances that they give up are astronomical because they don't got guys who can clear the zone, clear the net. 20% of the goals that they've allowed this year have been rebound goals because they're just not clearing their net and allowing way too many rebound opportunities. They're getting beat. They're getting boxed out. And it's because, you know, the size isn't there for a lot of these guys. So I think they need someone who's got some size. But that's besides the point. But, like, Connor Timmins doesn't move the needle for me in those aspects.
He doesn't. I understand. Like, he's at least what the reason why Friedman brought up his name
how big is Connor Timmins. Let me say how big he is before.
He's, I think, 6'2". He's not small.
He's not small.
But he's not like the 6'4". Like, he's not the Ilya Lyubushkin.
No, he's an Irish cat too. St. Catharines native. Shout out. 6'2", 200 pounds. So, like, there's some size there, but he's not.
He doesn't make you feel like, all right, like this is the guy that they need to go and get because he's like they're gonna need to add some size to that blue line. If Muzzin's gone for the rest of the year, that's gotta be the number one thing you gotta look for. It's not easy to find.
Can we also mention quickly before we move on, talk about a couple other players, Connor Timmins. The guy can't make it on Arizona's blue line. He's playing in their minors right now.
Well, he's also been injured, and he came back, got injured again. So I think he's on a conditioning stint down there. Like, but no, he hasn't played a lot, and this is exactly why we're not exactly thrilled with that idea because he hasn't played.
I don't know. Six-game conditioning stint?
Is it 6 games now?
Well, he's played 6 games in the American League and only 2 in the NHL.
Yeah, I don't know because he's been like in and out, so I don't know if that's been 6 games in a row.
The dash, he's also dash not 10 in those 6 games.
Yeah, so like maybe Arizona decides he's a guy that they don't really need and at least feel like you buy low and expect something better. But I wouldn't be like the problem was he was in that trade for Darcy Kemper.
Yeah, well, did you see the comment we got on the last video when we asked for some trade, targets, and someone said trade Nick Robertson for Connor Timmins. Like, thank you so much for interacting and giving us that opinion and that trade proposal. But I'm 1,000% against a deal like that.
Personally. Yeah, Nick Robertson has at least played more in the NHL than Connor Timmins has.
And Nick Robertson,
if Arizona wants Nick Robertson, they're going to have to pony up a little more than just Connor Timmins to get him, in my opinion. Like, if that's something that the two teams feel like that they can work on, like, Arizona's got some stuff the Leafs will want, but they're going to have to give up more if they want to make a deal done for in a situation like that. But, yeah, like, Connor Timmins doesn't move the needle enough. He will provide depth. He's a right shot. They don't have many right shot options. So I can see why people brought up his name. And he's on a cheap deal.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he is on a pretty cheap deal. A couple other names that have been brought up. Obviously, Jacob Chychrun is a name that's been bandied about now for well over a year. The guy's been linked to Toronto. And, Nick Kiprios of The Fan, he's like former NHLer, obviously. He's been pushing a Chychrun trade hard, and he kind of brought that back into the fold again today with the Riley news. The problem is, you know, Arizona's asking for an arm and a leg. They want 2 first-round picks and something else like on top of that. Want
more out of the Leafs because the Leafs don't have great picks to offer.
Yeah, and you know, their reasoning for it is rather sound. I would say, like, Brandon Hagel went for 2 first-round picks a year ago, and Lindholm went for a pretty high price a season ago as well. Hampus Lindholm to the Boston Bruins. So, you know, they look at Chychrun, they're like, look, he's got a couple more years left on that deal. It's very cost effective. You're going to pay for that. And I understand it. And I just don't know if Toronto is willing to go there.
I know. It just doesn't scream like a deal Kyle Dubas would do in season. Just because I feel like if you're making that Chychrun deal, that's it. That's all you're really going to be able to do. You're not going to be able to, I don't think he's going to be able to sell it to Brandon Shannon to say, all right, we're going to get Jacob Chikrin, but we're also going to need to do X, Y, and B. And Shannon's going to be like, yeah, we can't be throwing all this draft capital and prospect capital on this season. They're just not going to do that.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Another name that I did hear getting thrown around, LeBron brought up Kevin Shattenkirk as an interesting option, expiring UFA out in Anaheim, right shot defenseman. He's got some size, can, you know, move the puck a little bit as well. So Shattenkirk was another name that was brought up by LeBron. Not sure, you know, that he's suggesting that Toronto's interested, but he did say that he did some poking around, apparently, and Shattenkirk, who has a no trade, would be willing to waive it to go to Toronto if that did, materialize, if a market did materialize between the two clubs. And so we'll see. I don't know. There's a couple other guys out there. I don't know if there's another name that you kind of saw being floated out there as a potential option. I've always been a big fan of them bringing in a guy like, you know, Connor Murphy, potentially of the Chicago Blackhawks. He's got a couple of years left on his deal, obviously, but, you know, I think he plays that top four snarl type of role, which I think they need, obviously. Nick Jensen is another player who I've heard, you know, potentially could be on the move and expiring UFA with the Washington Capitals.
Vladislav Gavrikov from Columbus is another name I've heard.
He's a left shot, isn't he?
He is a left shot, but he's got that big size. He's 6'2", 213. UFA as well. Like,
I would prefer Andrew Peak, but I don't think they're willing to let him go. Mario Ferraro would be an interesting one out in San Jose if they're willing to listen on Mario Ferraro. I do like him as a name, like as a player.
San Jose has many, like, there are guys that are definitely going to be stable to that team for a while, but I think there's certain players they would entertain, that's for sure.
I think they would too, because he's pretty young. Like, he's a Toronto kid too. Only 24 years old, 6 foot, 210, can really throw the body around, blocks shots, kills penalties. I think Mario Ferraro, I've been high on him for the last few seasons because if you're in a peripherals fantasy hockey league, Mario Ferraro has provided a lot of that. Time on ice, hits, blocks. He's been pretty good in all of those categories. So he's a name that I've kind of had on the radar. And at 24 years old, I mean, I believe, did he sign a contract recently? Let me check really quickly. It's with the San Jose Sharks.
He did sign a four-year deal.
4 years, $13 million. Yeah, so they might not be willing to move on from him, but 3-2-5 for a guy who I believe is a top four defenseman. King City boy, I mean, maybe the O-Dog can persuade him to get here into Toronto. We'll see. Mara Ferraro is an interesting name, though. Another interesting one out there. Well, we could compile a list of guys. Maybe we could do a little power ranking. You know, five guys that we think the Toronto Maple Leafs should target over the course of the next couple of days. We could put that list together and share it with all y'all. In the meantime, give us a list of names that you think the Maple Leafs should target in the comment section down below. If you made it 45 minutes into this podcast,
God bless you if you did.
God bless you if you did. You're the best. Literally, if you've made it this far, I'm just telling you, you specifically, you're my favorite listener on the pod. Favorite listener, you right there. Thanks for messing with us for the last 45 minutes. All right. Let's wrap it up here, Dave. That'll do it for us on the podcast. I'd like to thank you all for listening and supporting the show. You can subscribe to the Locked On Leafs podcast on all podcasts and platforms and receive daily Leafs content. Follow myself on Twitter at @Mickey_Canuck. Follow Dave at @D_Morrissuti and follow the show at Locked On Leafs. Toronto taking on the Devils tonight. It'll be an interesting one. We'll see what that blue line looks like against a tough attacking New Jersey Devils offense. We will be back tomorrow to recap the game for you. Until then, keep it locked right here on Locked On Leafs.